Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater Program, 253 in the series. It is January 28th. It's a Sunday. And to my right is the vivacious, effervescent, very dimply, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Look, we have a full house.
I know. It's almost like a party here in
our
studio.
Mike Estella's here. We have Curtis Koch, our producer. And we have some special guests. And we'll tell you all about who they are in just a few minutes. And we are going to give away another year's supply of Cats Pride kitty litter in this half hour of the show. And you know what, Lisa? Lots and lots of people have been asking for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and we have that for you, a five-part adventure. We will have part one right after the news at the bottom of the hour. So part one of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll have two quarter-hour episodes in each of the next 2 hours. So all five parts will be brought to you here tonight by Cats Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cats Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming film Captive State, set in a Chicago neighborhood nearly a decade after arrival of an extraterrestrial force.
Wow.
All right. Interesting.
What do they win?
They're going to win a MyPillow, guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
Yeah, I have two MyPillows. Unfortunately, only one has ever been used.
I know, it's very sad. I know. We're going to see if we can change that for you.
You can give the other one to me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping.
Yeah,
someone
there's still
learn,
hope. He
use
can keep it,
it
in the
some,
closet.
At some point. All right, so here's a hint. This actor played Bill Randa in King Kong's Skull Island.
What happens when they show up on your doorstep?
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Who is that actor? Give us a call. Win a MyPillow. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We have a winner, Lisa.
We do.
Yeah.
Did you want to tell him or
well,
do you want me
no,
to
no, we're
going
to play the clip once again.
Okay.
Let's play that clip once more
when
time.
When they show up on your doorstep.
All
right. We have Richard on the line. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
Hey, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
All right.
We're glad you called in, and we're guessing you know the answer.
John Goodman.
You are right, Richard. You are a winner. You know what you've won, don't you?
A MyPillow.
You've
I'm
won a...
forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Does he want my spare one, or does he want a brand new one?
I don't know. What do you think? Do you want Carl's old one, or do you want a new one?
It's in a glass case. It's never been used. No.
I might end up with Carl's old one. I'd rather have a new one.
You know what? I'm with you,
that's
Richard.
That's pretty smart.
My pillow is guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. And for more information, you can see how great it is. Check out their website at MyPillow.com. Thanks so much for calling in. Stick with us for our five-part Johnny Dollar series, okay?
Well, I plan to.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Richard. All right, he's a big winner, and in a little bit, we are going to tune into part one of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. I teased you a little earlier. I said we have some special guests in the studio, and that's what we do have for you. Dave Wieske is here. He is the Vice President of Customer Success for Cats Pride. We also have Lisa Mack. She is the Vice President of Marketing for Cats Pride, and Leah Kraft. She's Cats Pride's Marketing Coordinator. They're all here. We're going to talk about Cats Pride and this new initiative that just launched. And first, let's say hi to Dave. Hi, Dave. How are you?
How are you guys doing? What show are we on, by the way?
This is
253.
So we're on year three in this this program, and it's been a great effort. And it's really excited to have my colleagues here tonight, and Lisa and Leah. And they're really going to drive home, really, the initiative that we're on. Unfortunately, Dan Could not make it this evening, but we're going to be rolling on with the show talking about Litter for Good.
Excellent. All right. So is Lisa up first? Lisa, do you want to talk about this new initiative? Because it's quite exciting, and I know the TV commercials just started running with Katherine Heigl.
Yes. We've been partnering with Katherine Heigl for the last couple of years, and she's been wonderful to work with. She is a huge animal lover and an animal advocate. She has her own foundation, the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation. And so we've been donating litter to her foundation, and we thought, why not expand that to shelters across the country? And so we've launched this new Litter for Good program. It's not a promotion. It's an ongoing commitment to helping shelters in need. And so we've got Leah Kraft here, who is our marketing coordinator, and she is leading our effort on Litter for Good. So, Leah.
And Leah, she is a rock star. We've
She's
had
awesome.
Her, I mean, online now for, what have you been here?
Are you touring?
I mean, she is that good. I mean, she is just developed this program and maintained it to a phenomenal degree. And I'll let her speak more about
it. Well, thank you. So Litter for Good is a new program that we're doing. So now with every jug of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light that's sold, we'll be donating a pound of litter to shelters across America, which is huge. We've heard that litter is the number one needed item for shelters. So we're really hoping that by donating this litter to those shelters, they can really use those resources to help more animals find their forever home. So
I want to understand how this works. So now someone just goes to your website, right? They go to catspride.com. Let's break it all down for them. They go to catspride.com. They sign up. It's absolutely free.
Correct.
And they sort of nominate one of their shelters. Tell me how that works.
Sure. So we've been saying it's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
So you hit the nail on the head.
I can probably follow 1, 2, 3. So
you head over to catspride.com.
Okay.
Sign up for our free Cat's Pride Club.
Yes.
When you're signed up, you can nominate your favorite or local shelter to receive free litter. And then finally, go out and buy a green jug of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light.
And so I buy a green jug. And the great thing about Cat's Pride Fresh and Light, I mean, besides the fact that it's the best kitty litter out there, it's half the weight of other kitty litters. It's just tons and tons of reasons why you should buy Cat's Pride Fresh and Light. But this now is even more amazing because you buy a jug. A pound of litter gets donated to the shelter that you want to designate. And now that money, it frees up money to help these cats and dogs all across the country, right?
Yes, that's correct. Our goal this year is 5 million pounds donated.
Whoa.
So we're excited.
Wow.
It's a big number. And just so the audience understands, when we talk about 1 pound donated, we're not packaging 1 little pound and sending it to the shelter. It's an accumulative number. As we see the shelters get nominated, that they accumulate pounds, and then we do an equivalent package size that we send to them accordingly.
Very, very good. And now tell us a little bit about the TV commercials, because people are going to be watching Channel 7 or whatever channel they watch. And they are going to see Katherine Heigl talking about this and talk a little bit about her foundation as well. I think that's really interesting as well.
Yeah, she's Katherine is in our TV commercials. They just started airing, and she's telling about what Leah just said, the whole Litter for Good program and how you can participate, and really going to our CatsPride.com site so that people can learn more about it.
Yeah, I know that's important. Going to the website and signing up. Do that. In fact, you can do that at any time, 24/7, right? The website's
That's
up and
right.
running. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And so Katherine has been your spokesperson for, what, a couple of years now?
Yeah, a couple of years. And so, like I said before, she is, you know, the founder, co-founder of the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation. She has all kinds of animals on her ranch. She's a huge animal lover. And she's done a lot with the foundation to help, you know, transport animals to other locations or shelters that have more capacity. They have spay and neuter programs, all kinds of great things. They have veteran programs to help vets, with therapy dogs. And so great organization doing a lot of great things.
And I know she was funding this organization herself until she hooked up with Cat's Pride. And it's just exploded what she's been able to do, because Cat's Pride also donates a portion of the proceeds of every jug. When you buy a Cat's Pride Fresh and Light jug, They donate a portion of the proceeds to her foundation, so she has now been able to help literally millions and millions.
Yeah, that's correct. And again, I think that effort, when we talk about the long relationship that we've had now going on, this is 3 years we're marking out at this point. I mean, literally for Cat's Pride Fresh and Light, we're talking about the carbon footprint. We're taking 2,000 trucks off the road per year. And this year we really hope to do 2,500 or more based on Leah's numbers. So it's real exciting to see what we're doing and what we're also doing for the foundation for the whole efforts that have been forward.
Fantastic. Well, I think it's a wonderful promotion, and you're just helping so many. I mean, really, we're talking about the lives of millions and millions of shelter animals. And I know Mike got his dog from the shelter that's in the TV commercial running right now. You can see a commercial running.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Right? Your dog from that shelter?
We definitely got our dog from a shelter. I think every animal that we get comes from shelter.
That's great.
So. How many animals do you have?
Well, I mean, we only usually have two at a time. That's usually one cat, one dog. But my wife's sister, she has picked up a few dogs from a few different shelters. So... Yeah. We're all about saving the dogs and cats.
And these shelters need support, and this is probably the biggest thing that ever happened to the shelters. This is going to generate literally millions and millions of dollars in kitty litter for them.
Absolutely, and again, Leah, you know, give us a pulse for what you're seeing on the live wire, because it's exciting to see the motion that we're seeing at this point in time, where we're seeing a lot of activity. And we're seeing a lot of donations coming. So you want to just comment on our pace right now?
Yeah, so right now we're having about an average of 75 people per day sign up for our Cat's Pride Club, share the video that features Dan and Catherine across their social channels. So we're just really hoping to increase the awareness, spread the word, make it go viral so we can make a huge impact and help a lot of shelters.
It's snowballing for sure.
Well, we're listening. We're actually coast to coast pretty much here. Almost all 50 states can hear this broadcast, parts of Canada. So, folks, please do your part. Go to catspride.com, sign up, and there's a great video, as you mentioned, of Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, along with Catherine. And they're in this really cool green
VW
bus. Yeah, it's like an old bus all restored, and they're kind of traveling the nation, and it's a great video. So check it out at the website, right?
That's right. And lastly, again, where can you find it, Carl?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. So, you know, I'm going to start off with one of my favorite pieces, since I own e-commerce, is Walmart.com. We talk about Chewy.com and Amazon.com. I was just with Chewy last week, and they're bringing in 100,000 customers per month, new ones. So just talk about e-commerce of where it's going. Then we talk about brick and mortar, Walmart, Jewel, Publix for our folks in Florida. That's a pretty good long away. And Albertsons and Safeway. Jewel is, you know, also part of our Monopoly program. As we talk about Albertsons and Safeway, too, that's going to be a huge program that's going to be coming out in March. Monopoly's a big deal for a lot of the shoppers. So we're really excited about Monopoly and the Fresh and Light Ultimate Care program.
So make sure, if you're not already using Cat's Pride Fresh and Light, to switch over, because there's so many reasons why. And one of the reasons, too, is because they are the sponsor of this show. They bring you this radio show every single week, and they also give one of our listeners a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter every single month. So generous of them. And we're going to do that right now. So drum roll, please. All right.
And we have a winner. It is Mark and Claire Minsky. No, it's Minsky of Greenville, Wisconsin, and their cat, Jaeger.
Jaeger.
Mark and Claire Minsky, Greenville, Wisconsin, a year's worth of litter. Congratulations.
All right. They won a year's supply. And Lisa, tell everyone listening how they can be part of the chance to win next month.
Well, we hope you'll send in another email to us with your cat and your name, your cat's name, your city and state. Email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And we hope that you'll do that every single month to hopefully you could be a winner too next month and win that year's supply of Cat's Pride.
Take a picture of your kitty. And you could be in the picture, too, if you want.
Anybody who has a cat has a picture of their cat.
Do they?
Because we all love our animals.
This is true. Lisa shows me pictures of her dog pretty
every
much
day.
Every
Did
time I see
I already showed you one today.
Yeah, she does.
I know. I can't help it. And my daughter has a cat, and we use Cat's Pride at home. So not only do you generously supply kitty litter, but it's also a superior product. So we can feel good knowing when we buy Cat's Pride that we are getting the best product on the market, in addition to a generous company who gives and gives and gives.
Thanks,
yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thanks for all you do. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Leah. Great seeing you all. And congrats on a brand new, awesome promotion that just kicked off. Check out the commercials. They're running on television right now. But more important, go to catspride.com and sign up. It's as easy as 187. Is that what it is?
1, 2, 3.
Oh, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Great. And thanks so much, you guys. Appreciate seeing you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's the news and then yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Stick around.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
And we have Mike Costella here as well. What's up, Mike?
Not too much.
The engineering wizard. He is the engineering wizard, Mike Costella.
I do what I can.
The reason why these classic radio shows that we play sound as good as they do is because of that man right there.
Thank you.
He has all kinds of tools and all kinds of magic, and he waves a magic wand and makes them sound fantastic.
You know, I wish it were that easy.
You know why it is, right, Carl?
Why?
Because he's a professor at my alma mater, Columbia College Chicago. He's audio specialist.
He is. He's the guy. If I was going to take a class on Pro Tools, that'd be the man right there.
Carl hires a fabulous team to dance around him, and we dance.
Dance.
We're dancing.
Cowboy.
We're dancing.
Hey, you know, before we go to break real quick, I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a very fun surprise box program. When you go to WGNRadioTheater.com, you will see a pop-up, and it has three surprise boxes. And people have been buying these, and the best thing about it is they're texting me and sending emails and letting me know how much they love the surprise box. And here's how it works. You can get a $150 worth of classic radio CDs, brand new, in the case with the cellophane. You get a whole bunch of CDs. I think it's 30-plus CDs for only $39.99. It's $150 worth of surprise CDs. You'll get, you know, all the favorites, Gunsmoke and Jack Benny and all kinds of great stuff in there. And then there's a DVD program with classic TV and classic movies. You get tons of DVDs, $150 worth for only $39.99. Or you can get Twilight Zone, so you'll get tons of Twilight Zone CDs with Stacey Keach as the host and all of that for only $39.99. And again, each one of these surprise boxes has a value of at least $150 at retail. Everything is brand new. It's still in the cellophane. And once all this product is gone, we're not going to manufacture anymore. This is it. So you have a chance to get it today. I think the program will last a little while, but just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. There will be a pop-up, and then you can just see what the productions are. So check that out. Also, when you go to our website, WGNRadioTheater.com, scroll down a little bit, you will see a big banner for our new app. It's absolutely free. We want everybody listening to download our free app, because the free app gives you 10 free classic radio shows. So, I mean, it's free. Check it out. Go download our app. Now, I can't download
it
because I don't know my Apple ID.
Right. But if you did, then you still wouldn't be able to download
right.
it.
Right. I was going to say the same thing there.
But I have it on my phone.
Yes.
And it works beautifully. And I could show it to you. I can tell everybody what it does. But I'm opening it right now.
Okay.
And it says Classic Radio. And right now you get the home screen. It's opening right now.
Yeah.
And I can actually tell you the free shows that are on
there's
here
a lot
right
of
now.
Free shows.
But,
you know, and here's the great thing. When you check out this this banner, you can just click right through to the Apple Store or right through to the Google Store on the banner. So just check it out. Go to WGNRadioTheater.com, scroll down a little bit, and check out our banner for our free old-time radio app. And there's Roger Badish up there. What's up, Roger?
Oh, hi. How are you guys doing? I was thinking that, you know, you just don't know anything about downloading an app.
No, I don't. But, you know,
and he has not downloaded an app at all.
He doesn't even know how to spell it.
That's my feature too.
I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There are a lot of people who don't know how to do it.
I'm afraid of technology. What can I say?
I know.
But you know what?
We shame him, Roger. That's why.
But I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of old time radio. I love old time radio.
No way.
And he has a doctorate in old time radio.
That's right. Yeah, Lisa has two master's degrees, and I have a doctorate in old time radio.
Actually, you have an MD. You know what that stands for?
What?
Me doctor.
Me doctor. Yeah.
Or the mean doctor, the one mean or doctor, the other.
Yeah. No.
So will we have time for me to give you your question of the night?
You want to do it right now?
Yeah, I can do it right now.
Okay.
All right. So
old-time radio.
Explain to people what we're doing here now.
All right. So Roger knows his old-time radio, so he's going to try to stump me with a classic radio trivia question.
It's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Go for it, Roger.
Just double-check. We just started last night.
Yeah.
Okay, so... this detective writer went by a nom de plume.
Nom de plume.
In everything that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know his real name?
A nom de plume?
Yes. I will give you a hint.
Okay.
Is he speaking English?
Nom
de plume.
I thought it was Agatha Christie for a second because I thought it was Hercule Poirot because you're like nom de plume.
No. I'm asking for the author's real name.
Okay.
This author created a very distinctive detective.
Okay.
At a very young age that made it to not only radio, but books, TV, and movies.
Uh-huh.
And can you guess his real name?
So, I mean, there's a zillion detectives out there. Oh, it's either like Raymond Chandler, Dashiell Hammett.
I will give you
there's
another.
So many detectives. I don't know if Roger's good at this. I'm not sure if we can have him asking me the trivia questions.
All right.
Lisa.
So,
I don't know.
He was British.
We might have to fire you.
He was British. He wasn't born in England.
Leslie Charteris?
I'm asking for his real name.
Okay. But you're not telling me the detective. If you told me the detective,
I
could tell
you. But if I gave you the detective, you'd know the name, which you just said.
Gosh. It's the saint, Leslie Charteris?
But what's Charteris's real name?
Oh, his real name.
Yeah.
I'll probably know it when you say it.
All right. Well, he was born in Singapore.
Uh-huh. Okay.
His name is Leslie Charles Boyer Yin.
Yeah, he created the saint, Simon Templar.
All right,
here's
one last one. Who drew the picture? You know the saint picture? The logo of the saint, the stick figure?
You're talking about with Roger Moore on television?
Well, all right,
I think we have to fire Roger.
Yes, that one.
I don't know. Who drew it?
He did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, as a kid.
He was an artist, too, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, I don't know, Roger.
I'll have to work on some more easy
I
ones for you.
I don't know.
I'll work on some easy ones.
I was pretty excited about this program.
Yesterday was good. All right, so I'm only one for one.
The news is sponsored by RZA.
Thank
Acura.
You.
Acura. It's 11:34. Oh, we're way late. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Okay, so Roger's not the greatest at asking trivia questions.
Well, I told
you. But he's a good...
I warned you, Roger.
Oh, my gosh. Roger, we have to have a talk.
All right. Okay, I will give you all the clues up front
time. He's got to be like quick, boom, chakalaka, bam.
They
Who
were
played
quick.
The blah,
you,
blah, blah?
You're sitting there boom, going, I don't know.
Right. We're going to have a talk. Come to the principal's office.
I was just going to say that and close the door.
Come to the principal's office.
You're in trouble.
We have a five-part Yours Truly Johnny Dollar series for you now. We're going to play episode one right now, and then you'll have the other four episodes throughout the night. This is the Henderson Matter. This first episode is from November 28th, 1955. Bob Bailey stars as Yours Truly Johnny Dollar.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Tim Connors, John boy. Congratulate me.
Congratulations, Tim. What for?
I just had another boy. 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Hey, you like cigars?
Sure.
Well, come on down and pick one up. Oh, maybe you better pack your suitcase, too. I got one for you out in Culver, Montana.
Where's that?
I just told you. Out in Montana somewhere. We have a debt policy holder there named Henderson.
Henderson, huh?
Yeah. Now, we don't know if he was murdered, committed suicide, or had an accident.
Well, what does it look like?
All three.
Okay, Tim, be there in an hour.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter, whatever it's going to be. Expense account item one, $1.25 for a detailed map. I had an idea that Culver, Montana was a place that only Rand McNally might know about. They did. I found it tucked up in the high northern corner of the state near Great Falls.
Hey, where's your bag?
Home.
I told you to pack it. Now, look,
Give me a cigar, Tim. Tell me about the new boy and the new case.
Okay, have a chair. There you are. I wouldn't smoke it if I were you. Terrible. Cost me $2 a box. Hey, you know something? I'm thinking of naming the new boy Johnny.
Oh, tough case, huh?
Yeah. Hmm? Look, we're in the same sweet old spot, Johnny. Same old problem. One of our policy holders is dead, and for looking into the circumstances of his death, the insurance company is no longer a friend of the widow and orphan, but a big, bad monster trying to weasel out of a just claim.
All claims are just claims, or are they?
Well, of course they are. No one ever tried to pull a fast one on an insurance company. Well, the world's full of nice, honest, straight-playing people.
Uh-huh. Now tell me about getting sandbagged in a poker game.
Look, I want to get this out of the way and get back over to the hospital and see my wife. Now, John, this claim came into the insurance office yesterday afternoon, airmail special. The insurance company turned it over to me today.
What company?
Western. The policy's worth $25,000 face value, double indemnity if death was by accident. No payment for suicide.
Uh-huh. You say the man's name was Henderson?
Yeah, it says here, George Walter Henderson, Montana rancher. Last Thursday, he fell 4 stories out of a hotel window in Culver and died instantly. At least that's what we have in this report here. Somebody could have shoved him, or he could have taken the leap. Now, we have to know for certain.
Oh, what's on the claim report?
Accidental. There was no inquest, no police investigation, and that's not good enough for us.
Uh-huh. This Henderson prominent?
Well, he was big enough, Johnny. Cattleman, rancher. He was also a major stockholder and the only newspaper in Culver, so I doubt if his paper would suggest suicide or anything else, do you?
I don't know, Tim. I never met the editor.
Well, meet him if you like. Talk to him. Talk to anybody in Culver. Find out what was what.
This is a lousy cigar.
Johnny, you know how to handle these things. We have to have more information than this.
Have you tried to do anything on it at all?
Yeah, I phoned the sheriff's office long distance to talk to a man named Holton, Eve Holton. He said he'd be happy to cooperate.
All right, what else?
I phoned the beneficiary to get some information. Name's Pauline Henderson, his widow.
Is she going to cooperate, too?
I don't think so, pal.
Huh?
She hung up on me.
Expense account item two, $185.65. Airfare, Hartford, Connecticut to Great Falls, Montana. The nearest point I could make to Culver by air. Item three, $3. I took the train to Culver. Sometimes when I'm having nightmares, I dream about the smelter stack standing up against the cadaverous hills that lie to the south of town. Everything, including the 3 or 4 feet of snow covered with a uniform dinginess, made Culver an ugly little town set in an ugly notch between two ugly mountains. The only hotel in town was the Butte. It happened to be 4 stories high. It also happened to be the place where George Henderson had met his death. Okay, just a minute.
Mr. Dollar?
Yeah.
I'm Eve Holton, sheriff here.
Huh?
You're from the insurance people, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Been expecting that you'd be in sooner or later.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Holton.
Call me Eve, son. Everybody does. Hey, got a drink on you?
No, I haven't.
Well, I got one on me. Nice and chilly, too.
Well, I'll see if there's some glasses around here, Sheriff.
You didn't waste any time looking me up.
No, I guess I didn't, son. Thought it'd save a little time this way. Knew you'd be looking me up sooner or later. Really thought we ought to have this drink together, private. May not have any more together while you're here. Well, health and happiness, boy.
Same to you.
Now, this drink we're having, this is in your room, and I'm just a fellow welcoming you to Culver. In my office or on that street out there, I'm a sheriff, and I'm going to be real official.
All right, go on.
I want you to notice I'm not asking any questions of you, son. I'm just answering anything that you might want to ask me right now.
All right.
You're going to have to plow ahead yourself on this one, pretty much alone. And let me tell you what kind of plowing you got in store for you. Excuse me. Now, first off, this is a little burg like you ain't used to. We got 3,500, 4,000 people living here. Some of them working at mine you've seen on your way into town. Others hire out to work on the ranches around here. Some in business.
Uh-huh.
Very tight little place. We hardly ever fool around with anybody else.
Sure.
Now, you're here because your insurance company don't like to pay off on a policy without knowing whys and wherefores. They don't like the word accident without knowing some of the details.
No, they don't.
There's a lot of people here, most people, who don't care about those details. As a matter of fact, son, they'd all just as soon put old George Henderson down on the ground and say it was an accident and let it go with that.
Well, maybe it was, Sheriff. I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Yeah, well, now, let me go on. Those people who don't like the details don't like detail getters. You understand?
Yeah.
Scare you any?
Not yet.
You'll do all right, son. So, maybe you'd kind of like to get your coat on and come to your funeral with me. Starts at 3.
Henderson's?
Yeah. Give you a chance to look around, get the lay of the land.
Okay, good idea.
I wondered what kind of bull workers insurance companies turned out. I like you, Dollar. You're all right. You ain't bothering with any questions till you got some worthwhile asking. You tired?
A little.
Well, this won't take too long.
A half hour later, I was standing beside Sheriff Eve Holton on a flat-top hillside that served as a cemetery. The snow was white and gleaming under the winter sun of the mid-afternoon skies, the air cold and crisp.
To thee, our heavenly Father, who knoweth all things, we commit the body of our beloved to thy eternal care. Thy will be done. Trusting ever in thy mercy, we invoke the consolation of thy sheltering wing. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and sure and certain hope of resurrection into eternal life, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, that's that.
Yeah.
Poor George.
Eve.
Hmm?
Which one is Mrs. Henderson? That's Pauline Henderson?
Yeah, that's her.
Well, she can't be more than 25.
26, to be exact, Dollar. I went to her birthday party 2 months ago.
Well, how old was George Henderson?
59. Went to his party, too. Yeah. Pretty thing, hmm?
Very. Any other family?
Nope.
No other wife, huh?
Nope. Want to meet her?
No, not right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, suit yourself. Kind of thought you might start thinking when you got a look at her.
Hmm?
Now, just keep on the way you're doing. You're doing fine. When there's something you got to know, you'll find out.
Well, Leif, I already know one thing.
Yeah? What's that?
I'm going to ask for a coroner's inquest.
Just from seeing her?
Just from seeing her.
Mm-hmm. You're a sly one, Johnny.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of The Henderson Matter.
Tomorrow, I find out how hard it is to believe what I see, and I see plenty. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
All right, there you have it. Part one of a five-part adventure of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, with the Henderson Matter that originally aired November 28th, 1955, starring Bob Bailey. You know, here's the thing with Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Lisa. It was one of the most popular detective shows on the air. I don't know if you could call it a detective show because he was an insurance investigator. Wasn't right. really, but he did solve murders and all this kind of stuff. He was sort of like an amateur detective. But the series started in 1949 on radio. It was a half-hour show once a week. But then by about 1955, they decided, you know, this show is so popular, let's do a five-day-a-week story. So it was a 75-minute story that they broke up into five 15-minute chapters.
I think that's what we should do. So what? We should come here Monday through Friday
for 15 minutes.
For 15 minutes and just do like these five-part
series. I'll drive 90 minutes one way.
But first you're gonna have to talk to the powers that be over here.
Talk on the air for 15 minutes, which right. means really 8 minutes of talk because there's commercials, there's news, there's weather. And
No, none of that. We'll just, in our perfect world, we'll just come into our 15 minutes.
I'll drive 90 minutes.
That's okay. That's your problem.
And then I'll be on the air 15 minutes and then drive 90 minutes
home.
Get
a condo right here at the Tribune
Tower.
Buy me
one.
We're going to, this is going to be turning into Tower.
Hey, money bags. Buy me one.
I'll buy one for you, one for me.
It'd only be a short walk to the new place.
Right. No problem.
All right.
That'll be fun.
Sounds great.
Okay.
So anyway, it was a five-part adventure for a couple of years. Super popular. And it was Monday through Friday, 15 minutes, a 75-minute story. So that's what we have for you tonight. We just listened to Chapter 1. We have Chapter 2 coming up after the news. And we'll do two quarter-hour chapters in each hour.
Do we have to play them in the right order? Like, can't we just like start with five, go to three, and
you
just
do
kind
that?
Of mix them all up?
You
see how that goes for us?
Drive the listeners
yes.
super crazy,
that's
right?
That's
now,
my plan.
We're going to play them in order.
All right.
That's because it's the kind of guy I
that's
am.
That's how you like
that's
to
how I roll.
Go with a straight and narrow.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa Wolf.
All right, Carl Amari.
I don't know what we're going to do about that trivia thing.
All right, well, let's just move on. Let's forget it.
Maybe
happens.
I'll ask Roger the trivia question.
Okay.
He's not up there.
No, he's crying.
Well, I took the ruler.
That's right.
You know,
you had a bad talk.
He might be preparing for next weekend with your trivia questions.
You know what? You might be right. He's working.
You know, back in the day, this is way before you were born.
Everything is before Christmas.
I was going to say, when isn't something before I was born?
way before you were born, Curtis.
Back in the 90s.
The nuns at some of these schools, they had a ruler.
Oh, no. I've heard this story from my grandparents.
I mean,
they'd whack you in the wrists and stuff. Yeah,
like on the knuckles.
Too.
We watch movies.
So my mom, who's 89 years old and is listening to the show, and she listens to the show every week, she falls asleep about maybe... She listens to the first show, and then she falls asleep.
Same.
But she told me that when she took piano lessons as a kid, and there was a nun teaching the piano lessons... when she would do it right, you know, when she was playing the piano right, the woman would go, "Rosalie, you're doing fantastic, just beautiful."
Was that the voice she used?
I was going to say, that's probably exactly how it sounded.
And then when she would hit the wrong note,
whack
with the ruler.
Yeah, well, times have changed.
Yeah.
Well, that's for sure.
Can you imagine if your child came home now and said, "Mom or Dad?"
Well, they'd arrest a teacher, I think.
Yeah, my teacher hit me on the knuckles with a ruler.
Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I didn't hit Roger on the knuckles with a ruler.
No, you hit him on the butt.
The police report's been filed already, buddy.
I hit him on the knuckles with a yardstick.
You hit him
where it counts. Yeah, I missed me by a yard.
What?
I get it.
A yardstick.
Somebody did.
I got you, Roger. We're good.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I, you know,
We'll pick this up next
week.
Don't worry
strikes
about it.
You're out, Roger.
No,
I'm telling
it's
you,
one
you
strike.
Got one more shot at this.
What do you mean,
buddy?
Three strikes? It was only one strike.
Mm-hmm.
One question, mm-hmm. one strike.
Mm-hmm.
What does he get three?
What's,
never mind.
Lisa, what's your opinion of the trivia question?
Don't pull her in the middle
no,
of this.
No, let's pull her into this.
All right.
I have no opinions.
See?
Oh, sure.
I have no opinions.
It safe.
I don't think at all. Anyhow, we're gonna move on. That's what I think we should do.
Yes,
let the past be gone.
We will.
And we'll move to our part two, unless you want to mix things up a little bit and go straight to four.
We've had a lot of listeners saying they wanted to hear yours truly, Johnny Dollar, yeah. especially a five-part adventure. And that's what we have for you tonight on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. But I do want to remind all of our listeners that we're here not only on Sundays. We are here also on Saturday nights. Saturdays and Sundays, we play two different shows. We have six classic radio shows generally every Saturday and Sunday night. All your favorite classic radio shows, The Shadow and Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, My Favorite Husband,
yep.
which I know you like, Lisa.
I do. And I was going to say, we are creeping up close to an anniversary. We
yeah.
started here
oh,
on
wow,
April.
Right.
Was it April?
Maybe the 19th or something?
17th, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Mid-April.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Are we going to have another meet and greet soon?
We are.
We need to have a meet and greet.
We need to do that.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Where should
I know
we have a meet and greet?
We've been talking about that.
Let's have it at Curtis's house.
I was going to say that. Curtis, are you up for that?
I mean, if you want to drive an hour and a half out
where
to
you,
where I'm
where
in Crystal
live?
Lake. I'm out near Woodstock.
I think we should have it at Lisa's mansion. Roger, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, if one of the wings is open.
We usually close the west wing at
10. Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's not going to work out.
I think it would be good. We should have a meet and greet at your mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll have it in the guest house. That's 30,000 square
feet. Well, then they'd have to move the gold bullion to another place.
Yeah.
No, let's go with Blaze Pizza.
Blaze Pizza. All right, we can do
that,
too.
Yeah, we're going to work on something.
All right, sounds good. All right, well, stay tuned, because after the news, we will have part two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and as I say, all five parts, all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger Badish, and also Esmeralda Leon. Appreciate you both. It is 5 minutes after midnight, and it's Monday morning. Happy Monday. This is program 253 in the series. People ask me all the time, Lisa, about the podcast. Where can they listen to the podcasts of this show? And I tell them the best way to do it is I go to Google, and then I just type in WGN Radio Theater Podcast. And a bunch of different sites come up, because there's a lot of different ways and places to hear this podcast.
That's true.
What is your avenue for listening to the podcast?
My avenue.
Yeah. Is it a one-way street?
It is not a one-way street. I know. So I have the WGN Radio app on my phone.
Are there speed bumps on it?
Always. Always speed bumps. And I have that downloaded to my phone because I know how to do that.
Okay.
And you can go to podcasts directly. There's a menu and you can go to podcast, and then you hit WGN Radio Theater. Is that what you do, Curtis?
That sounds complicated.
Yeah, well, I mean, since I'm the one that puts together the podcast, at least for this weekend,
right.
Usually right when the show's over, maybe about 10-15 minutes afterwards, you can check the website, and it's usually popped up right on the front page. So
you know what, Curtis?
If it's easier for you, just type WGNRadio.com, and you'll just see the picture of us.
Right.
And just click on that.
Curtis, you know, when Shantae's here, she usually gets it up in about 3 minutes.
I know.
So
she's
gonna
really good.
I'm going to tell you to really get a move on that.
I'm going to work on it.
Slacker.
I'll try to get on Shantae's level tonight.
I kid you not. I will look at the time that she posts it just because I don't know how she does it. She's just amazing. And at 2:03, it'll be posted. And every week, I am floored by
you
that.
Know what?
I,
she's a pro.
Let
what
me
can
tell
I
you
say?
Something.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
you're
not,
a pro.
You know what, Lisa?
I'm a rookie right now.
I'm not going to be happy till the podcast's up before we're done with the show.
Right. I think it should be up any minute now.
I want the future podcast
already
up
posted.
Now. Yeah. What we're going to say later, I want up now.
Got it?
Yeah.
I'll try my best.
Then I'll be impressed.
He's a tough boss. Believe me. I know.
First the jokes. Now that he's demands.
That's right.
Man.
That's right.
All right. In this hour, we're going to listen to chapters 2 and three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And that's coming up in just a minute, but it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. Dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum, dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming film Isle of Dogs, set in Japan, and follows a boy's odyssey in search of his dog.
What do they win?
They are going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Really?
Yes,
are you
really?
Positive?
Yes, I am.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You know why I'm saying it twice?
Because you're forgetful?
No, my sister Carleen said to me, I always try to call in, but you say the number so fast. Can you repeat it?
Carl,
can you say it a little slower?
Carl, you got to put speed dial on your phone. WGN's got to be right in there with your favorites.
I'm just telling you. She gave me a hard time about it.
You know, so, ever since I started working here, I had to put it as my favorite.
It has to be your favorite.
All right. Well, 312-981-7200. All right, here's a hint. This actress played Thora Thacker in Hail Caesar.
High ankle sprain. Is that really the best you could come up with? We all know about the womanizing and the drinking jags and the trips to San Badu.
I'm guessing she's British.
At least her accent is
from the other side of the pond.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Who is that actress? Give us a call. Are you ready for the number again? 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Win some Twilight Zone CDs. We'll be right back. Lisa, quit drinking all that beer while we're on the air.
Oh,
here.
Yeah, I know. I'm just a big beer guzzler. That's
Gosh,
what I like to do on my breaks.
Beer.
It's good to combine, don't you think?
Yeah.
The alcohol.
They're Chicago.
Thing.
They're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News team weekdays 4 to 10.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip one more time.
High ankle sprain. Is that really the best you could come up with? We all know about the womanizing and the drinking jags and the trips to San Badu.
Okay.
Oh, my. And we've got LaTanya on the phone. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great, and yourself?
Good. Thanks for calling in. Do you know who that actress is?
Yes, it's Tilda Swinton.
You are right. Tilda Swinton is the right answer.
I would have never gotten this.
Well, I met her once, and so, I don't know, I just feel, you know, a little kindred spirit there.
LaTanya knew it.
Yes, she certainly did. You are a winner, LaTanya. You've won a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set. Those are fantastic. It's hosted by Stacey Keach. We hope that you enjoy that.
I shall.
What's
that? Everything okay?
Is she okay? Are you okay, LaTanya?
I'm excited. I just told my coworker. I said,
oh,
she did
well,
it. You're a big winner.
Excited for you too. Thank
Way to
you.
Go, LaTanya. Thanks a lot, hon.
Take care.
Take care.
Appreciate it. You too.
Okay. Bye bye. She is a big win. She's very excited.
I know. I thought something like
LaTanya is
happened.
Really excited about win. But you know,
well,
it's,
I'm excited.
You know,
for her.
You used to call or
Look,
still do
I
call radio stations.
I love to do that. I used to call just so I could hear my voice on the radio. I didn't even care what the prize was.
Right. It's like,
so
you won.
I didn't care. I didn't even always pick it up.
You won last week's garbage,
and I'd be like, "Hey, thank
yes,
you so
thanks.
Much."
You won some dirty socks.
I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lisa. Here's a bag of dirty socks.
Thank you so much. Who wore
You're
them?
Welcome. Lots of people.
Depends who wore them.
All right. It's time for chapter 2 of 5 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is the Henderson Matter. Let's go back to a broadcast date of November 29th, 1955. Part 2 now of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Keith Holden, how are you this morning?
Oh, pretty good, Sheriff. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine, Dandy. You were over at the City Hall this morning,
Yeah, that's right. I requested the coroner to conduct an inquest into the death of George Henderson.
Yeah, I know. The coroner left it up to me.
Huh?
Yeah, came into my office and asked me if I had any reason to conduct an inquest into the death of George Henderson. I told him I didn't have any reason, but I'd do it if I was ordered to.
Well, what happens now?
Well, somebody'll have to decide whether there's going to be an inquest or not.
Who?
Mayor, I guess. I don't know. Anyhow, you stirred up some action, and you'll be getting it.
Yeah, where?
Just stay where you are, son. My guess is it'll come right to you.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter. The death of George Henderson of Culver, Montana, where I am today. A casual certification announced the death as accidental, having been received by a fall from a hotel window. No one in Culver seemed to be too worried about any of the details. But details are my job. That's why I requested the coroner's office to conduct an inquest. I took Sheriff Holton's suggestion and waited to see what my request flushed up in the dingy colored mountains of Culver. An hour later, my first bird winged up to my hotel room. He was a tall, gray-haired man in a Stetson, earmuffs, and the western version of a Chesterfield. His Honor, Mayor Newton.
Mr. Dollar, I want to talk to you about this request you made for an inquest into George Henderson's death.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
You are aware, of course, that George's death, and he was one of my beloved and personal friends for many, many years, was a great blow to the entire community.
No, I didn't know that, Mayor Newton.
Huh?
Only the smallest part of the community were at his funeral yesterday afternoon. His widow and, I'd say, not more than half a dozen other people.
Well, I understand that your insurance company is not quite satisfied with the certification. Is that correct?
More or less.
What would they need to be satisfied, sir?
An exact knowledge of how Mr. Henderson fell out that hotel window.
I would rather no inquest were held into Mr. Henderson's death.
Why?
Why, sir, George Henderson is dead and buried. It should remain that way. If an inquest were to be held, it would only prove that George fell out of a window. I beg you to consider that, Mr. Dollar.
You seem very certain that an investigation would prove that death was accidental, Mayor.
It was accidental. George fell out the window.
Well, no, I can't just tell that to my insurance company, can I?
We are a small community with a rudimentary police force, not equipped in any way for an exhaustive investigation, nor for the financial burden of such an investigation. I strongly urge you to reconsider this request for a coroner's inquest.
You do?
I do indeed. His untimely death was an unfortunate occurrence, outside the pale of any of our poor abilities to foresee. A terrible, terrible accident.
I'd like proof of that.
Proof?
An inquest, Mr. Mayor.
An inquest. All right.
My interview with Mayor Newton had convinced me that I'd get no real help from him in the Henderson matter. Quite the contrary. Expense account item 3, 20 cents, coffee, myself and Sheriff Eve Holton.
Well, you got it.
Huh?
At the direction of Mr. Jackson. That's our coroner. He deputized me temporarily to conduct an inquest. It's going to take place tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, City Hall.
Tomorrow, Sheriff?
Room 207.
Well, Eve, you won't have time to do anything.
No, I guess I won't. Not much, anyhow.
Ah, brother. The mayor pitched me pretty hard for not having the inquest.
Knew he would.
Any idea why?
Nope.
You think somebody asked him to stop it?
Yep.
Who?
Don't know, Johnny. Honest.
The next morning, I struggled my way against a belligerent north wind to City Hall and the inquest, if you could call it that. I sat in the back of the room and listened while a Dr. Horace Nam assured the six-man jury that George Henderson was quite dead when he was called out of his office and examined him on the street. Dr. Nam reckoned George had died from a broken neck. An ancient bellhop, a desk clerk, and a chambermaid gave their versions of what had happened the day Henderson fell out the window.
Now, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God.
I do, Sheriff.
I'm the acting coroner today, Miss Cubley. Sit down. Now, when did you see Mr. Henderson last?
Last Thursday morning.
Where was this, Miss Cubley?
At the Butte Hotel.
Mm-hmm. You know what time of the morning it was?
About 10 o'clock. I went in to make his bed and straighten up his room.
I see.
I made his bed while he worked on some papers there, and then I left.
Did you see him after that?
No, sir.
You didn't see him come downstairs for breakfast or anything?
No, sir.
Do you know if anybody went up to see him?
I believe I saw Mrs. Henderson in the lobby after that.
Do you see Mrs. Henderson in this room?
Yes, sir. I believe that's Mrs. Henderson over there.
No, that's Mrs. Henderson. Now, do you know if Mrs. Henderson visited Mr. Henderson in his room?
No, sir, I don't know that.
Miss Cubley, did you happen to notice if anyone else went up to Mr. Henderson's room that morning?
No, sir.
It went on all morning long. Sheriff Holton, acting in the coroner's position, questioned person after person. All had more or less the same vague knowledge concerning George Henderson's death. I was most interested in Pauline Henderson's testimony.
Now then, Mrs. Henderson, when did you last see your husband?
Thursday. I went to see him about noon, maybe a little before.
Where did you see him, Miss Henderson?
At the Butte Hotel, in his room there.
The same room he occupied prior to his death?
Of course.
The same room from which he fell?
Yes.
Were you alone when you went to see him, Mrs. Henderson?
Yes. I must have left before 12:30. I had an appointment at the dentist.
And that was the last time you saw your husband alive?
Yes. I was still in the dentist's chair when they told me he'd fallen out the window.
What did you and your husband talk about, Mrs. Henderson?
Must I answer that?
Well, we're trying to determine something here. I'd appreciate it.
George and I discussed our divorce.
Could you tell us about that?
George and I decided to part about a month ago. He moved out of the house and moved into the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the divorce, were you on good terms?
Oh, yes, we've always been on good terms.
Mrs. Henderson, do you think there's a chance that he might have thrown himself out that window? Mrs. Henderson, do you think he might have thrown himself out that window?
No, at least not over us, if that's what you mean.
As far as you knew, was your husband in good health?
Yes, he was.
You happen to know when he was examined last?
Oh, a month or so ago. He was in perfect health.
One more thing. Did Mr. Henderson drink?
Yes.
Did he drink that morning with you?
I think he had a couple of drinks. Yes, he had a drink or two while we were talking. He could have stumbled to that window.
The clothes were New York, the perfume Paris, the jewelry Tiffany's. The look, you might expect it on the Riviera, where everybody tries to act bored with too many good things in life. Her dress, black for the occasion of death, was cut too well and too carefully for her to pass as a grieving widow. She answered the questions without hesitation or emotion. 15 minutes later, the jury brought in the expected verdict.
Therefore, it is the opinion of this jury that the said deceased, George Walter Henderson, came to his death as a result of injuries incurred in a fall from the fourth floor of the Butte Hotel at or about 12:45 p.m. on the 19th day of this month. No evidence to the contrary. It is deemed and declared that the manner of death was accidental. Adjourned.
And that was it. As far as Culver's people, its police and its mayor were concerned. Yeah, the mayor.
Well, Mr. Dollar, I hope you're satisfied.
It was a pretty good inquest, Mayor Newton.
I trust the official verdict of the jury will answer any questions your insurance company might have had on their minds and clear this whole matter up.
I'll forward it to them and tell them the circumstances under which the inquest was conducted, Mr. Mayor.
Satisfactory, I trust.
No, but it served a purpose. Now that everybody thinks it was an accident, everybody will breathe easier.
Certainly.
Yeah. If everybody's relaxing like that, somebody's going to get careless. See you, Mr. Mayor.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of The Henderson Matter.
People do get careless tomorrow, all over Culver, Montana. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
There is part two of a five-part adventure called The Henderson Matter, starring Bob Bailey as yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And stick around. We have episodes 3, 4, and 5 coming your way all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning right here on the WGN Radio Theater. Stick around.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back. This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be here till 2 a.m., and we're here every Saturday and Sunday night playing all your favorite classic radio shows. And we have a full schedule that is available in the Nostalgia Digest, and we just played a commercial for that. We also have our schedule posted at WGNRadioTheater.com. You can see all the shows we're airing every single Saturday and Sunday, WGNRadioTheater.com. We have a Facebook page. We would love for you to go to our Facebook page and like us, right? What's right. there, Lisa?
Our schedule is there. We have photos of the radio stars that are performing there. We have a fun fact there. And we have some, you know, just little tidbits from time to time. So it's a great way to connect with us on Facebook.
Yeah, there's a great picture of Bob Bailey starring as yours truly, Johnny Dollar. That's who we're listening to, Bob Bailey, as Johnny Dollar. And let's do that now. This program 3, chapter 3 of 5. This is the Henderson Matter. Here's part 3 now of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Eve Holden, son.
Hi, Sheriff.
You put in a call for me, did you?
Yes, I'm ready to go to work. Now that the inquest's been held and George Henderson's death is officially an accident, I might be able to move around your little town a little easier.
What can I do for you?
Help me to move around.
The case is closed, far as I'm concerned.
Eve, what's the matter with you? That inquest was a farce. For all I know, Henderson could have been pushed out of that hotel window. The attitude of different people in this town makes that whole thing...
Hold on now, son, hold on. I meant to say it's closed as far as my office is concerned. Personally, I think it needs investigating. We can help each other, maybe, you and me.
Can I come over?
Oh, I better come there. You know how folks are around here.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Culver, Montana, to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter. The question, accident, suicide, or murder? Expense account item 4, $3.48, one day later to Tim Connor's office in Hartford explaining the situation in Culver.
I'll read back to you, Mr. Dollar. Mr. Tim Connors, Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. Coroner's inquest into death of George Henderson, policy number EMP-196667, found death to be accidental. In my opinion, the inquest was not thorough. Have decided to stay on in Culver and conduct my own investigation. If any change, please advise via Western Union, Butte Hotel, Culver. Am forwarding copy of coroner's verdict this date. Best regards, Dollar. Correct?
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Dollar.
Hmm?
Good luck.
Yeah, sure. Expense account item 5, 68 cents, postage. I mailed a copy of the coroner's verdict to Hartford Airmail Special. After that, I went back to my hotel to wait for the sheriff, Eve Holden. Come on in, Eve.
Hello.
Hello.
Mr. Dollar, my name's Porter. I'm the manager of this hotel.
Oh, well, come in, Mr. Porter.
I can't right now. I've got some other things to attend to.
Well, anything I can do for you, Mr. Porter?
I'm going to have to ask you for your room, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, when?
Today.
Any particular reason?
We're all filled up. The room's been reserved for 6 weeks.
By whom?
What?
Who reserved it?
Why, a man from Bozeman. It's a sort of convention.
Sort of convention? What kind of convention is that, Mr. Porter?
Look, Mr. Dollar, you'll have to leave this room today. The man's coming in tonight.
Aha. Uh-huh. And there's no other hotel in town.
That's the way it is, Mr. Dollar.
No other place to stay?
No.
So I have to pack my bags and get out of town, is that it?
I must have the room, Mr. Dollar.
Who asked you to say you wanted the room, Mr. Porter? Who asked you to come here and kick me out?
Why, no one,
Well, you go back to no one, Mr. Porter, and you tell no one that I'm staying right here in this room here in Culver until I finish what I have to do here. You tell that to no one, will you?
Mr. Dollar, I'd hate to call the police.
Go ahead, Mr. Porter. Be sure and tell them about the sort of convention you're having and how all the rooms are sold out. Tell them about Mr. No One and tell them I called your bluff. Anything else, Mr. Porter? I was at the stage where I was beginning to take notes for myself. Note one, the mayor didn't want to have an inquest into the death of George Henderson. Note two, when they did have an inquest, they didn't want to really find out anything. Note three, Mr. Hotel Manager wanted me to keep on not finding out anything by getting me out of town. I explained all of this to Eve Holton when he showed up a half an hour later.
Well, kind of tight, isn't it?
I don't know what that means, Sheriff, but it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid, son, but it could be effective. Now, I'll tell you what. If Porter calls the police, I'm the police, so don't worry about that. I'll hem him and haw him.
All right, thanks.
Now then, tell me how much your insurance company stuck for.
$50,000 if Henderson's death goes by as an accident.
The good book says that's what it was.
I know. There's a chance, too, he had a heart failure and fell out of that window.
No, sure. Always a chance.
We might have to dig him up and find out, Sheriff.
Oop. Hold on. Autopsies and digging people up is one thing you'd have a hard time doing around here.
I might insist on it. I don't know. We'll let that go for now. Say, tell me about Mrs. Henderson. Where's she from?
Here. Right here in Culver.
Now, she didn't get that mink coat and those diamonds she was wearing at the inquest in Culver. More important, she didn't get that continental look here either. So what's the story?
Well, her name was Pauline Underwood before she married George. Born and raised right here in Culver. Of course, she went to school in the East, and she's been in Europe a couple of times, but most of her life's been right here.
She is a mighty pretty widow.
And a mighty rich one, too. Henderson had it.
I know. This divorce she talked about at the inquest yesterday.
Well, everybody in town knew they weren't getting along. Never did get along. How could they? Pauline's 26 and George is 59. He could have been her father. As a matter of fact, he almost was.
Well, tell me about that.
You got a drink?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, George raised Pauline from the time she was 14. He paid for all her schooling and growing up. She didn't have any folks after her old man died. George was pretty good to her.
He sure was. Was he a friend of her parents?
Well, Tom Underwood worked out at the ranch for George. When he died, there was Pauline standing around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thanks.
And she eventually married him and his money, huh?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way exactly. I think she liked him. Now, I've gone over what you're thinking, son. Those two were talking about divorce for some time. The papers had been drawn up for a settlement. She'd have got a lot of alimony and so on. Oh, Pauline had no call to push him out that window or have him pushed out. At least not for money.
All right. Suppose he didn't want a divorce. Suppose he loved her and she came to the hotel room that morning and he pleaded with her to try all over again. Suppose she said no. Suppose she said no in a great big cold way. And George Henderson sat there and thought about it after she left. And he got sick all over and he walked over to that window and...
Suicide?
What do you think? You know him.
He wasn't the suicide type.
So. Oh, nobody's the suicide type until they come to the end of the line, Eve. Then it's too late to interview them and ask them how they got there. Everybody seems to think it was an accident, so I'm just throwing words around.
Well, you have a right to do that if you aren't satisfied, son.
Hey, getting back to this hotel again. Who might want me to get out of town and not ask any questions?
Anybody.
Well, who?
No idea.
But it's somebody who has some feelings in this. Hey, who owns this hotel, Eve?
Noah Baxter.
Who's Noah Baxter?
Rancher. Got a place about 15 miles from here. Pretty big man.
Uh-huh. Friend of Henderson's?
Yeah.
And let me put that question a little different. Baxter, a friend of Mrs. Henderson's.
I don't know.
Can you find out?
I can try.
Well, find out about him and any other friends, Eve. Friends that might be younger, that might have gone to Europe or school in the East.
Yeah, sure. What are you thinking now, son?
Well, now, if I were Mrs. Henderson and my husband fell out of a window in this hotel and killed himself, I'd hire a lawyer and I'd sue the hotel for damages. If the insurance company didn't pay off my claim, I'd hire a lawyer and insist that they pay that claim. I'd do those things right away, Sheriff, especially if I thought it was all legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 hours later, I received a wire from Tim Connors. He requested me to look up a man named Thurber, an insurance broker living in Great Falls. Expense account item 6, $4.92, tank of gas. I borrowed Sheriff Holton's car and drove the 80-odd miles to Great Falls that afternoon. Mr. Thurber bought lunch.
My Lord, I hope there isn't anything to all this, Mr. Dollar. I just hope there isn't. George Henderson.
Well, there isn't anything to anything yet, Mr. Thurber. I'm still trying to find out the facts.
Oh, I knew you were over in Culver. I tried to call you there a couple of times. You were out both times. Finally, I put in a call to the home office in Hartford. I talked to this man, Connors, with the adjustment agency.
Yeah.
You see, Mr. Dollar, it's like this. I've been over in Jackson Hole for 5 days now hunting duck. We were way in, and I didn't hear about Henderson's death until I got back yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Now, look, Mr. Dollar, I don't know what reflection this will have on your attitude toward this case, but 2 days before I left, Mr. Henderson telephoned me here in Great Falls. He said he wanted to change the beneficiary on his policy.
Oh, in other words, he was going to cut his wife out?
Yes, I suppose so. I know they weren't getting along.
There'd been talk of divorce.
Yes, I guess so.
Uh-huh. Did he name a new beneficiary?
Yes, a school teacher in Culver named Matilda Knickerbocker. Everybody calls her Maddie.
What was his connection with her?
None that I know of. I think it was just a name for him to throw in until he could decide on another beneficiary why he didn't have
it. Wait a minute. Maddie Knickerbocker.
Just a school teacher. Everybody knows her. He was awful mad when he talked to me that day. I could tell it in his voice. Now, here's what might interest you just a little more. The day I left on my hunting trip, Mr. Henderson phoned me again. He said to never mind. Mrs. Henderson was still his beneficiary.
Had you changed the policies yet?
No.
Are you sure it was Henderson who telephoned you?
Well, yes, of... I think it was him.
Do you remember when you got the call?
Oh, somewhere around noon, a little later, I guess.
He died between 12:30 and 1.
And it must have been just before he fell out the window.
He phoned you long distance from Culver, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, he was supposed to have been in the hotel all morning, so he had to phone from his room.
Well, you can check that, can't you?
You'd be surprised how hard it is to check simple things like that around the Butte Hotel. Did you know Henderson very well, Mr. Thurber?
He was a customer. I wrote a lot of insurance for him.
Know his wife?
Oh, yes.
Well, tell me about them. Well, go ahead, Mr. Thurber. Now, look, accidents rarely have reason behind them. Suicides and murders always do.
You don't think it was an accident?
Well, let's say I've heard enough and seen enough to make it a draw so far. Go ahead, tell me about them.
And I wish I was married to Mrs. Henderson. I mean, I wish she could see me. I think most any man who's ever met her hoped the same thing. Young men, old men, any kind. But she picked George. George was as tough and leathery as these mountains around us, exactly her opposite. But Pauline married him.
He raised her. He was close to her all her adult life.
Yes. But, Mr. Dollar, you know and I know she didn't have to marry him. She could have married anybody here in Culver or anybody in London or Paris. You see what I mean?
Not quite.
Well, I always had the idea that after she married him, she kept letting him know she could have had anybody else she wanted.
Go ahead, Thurber.
I think she married him for his money. I think she would have killed him for his money.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Henderson matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the whole affair becomes a town issue, and I become the town goat. Incidentally, let me take a moment to say thanks for the many kind letters you've sent. We appreciate them more than you know. And I only wish it were possible to answer them all personally. Again, thank you. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
All right, that is program 3 of 5 on Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar with the Henderson Matter, starring Bob Bailey with Roy Rowan announcing there, Jack Johnstone doing the producing and directing on a very, very good story. Like, I'm really getting into this here now. We have 2 more chapters of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. We'll have that in our next hour, in our 1 a.m. to 2 p.m. hour.
To 2 p.m.?
Yeah.
That'd be a long radio show.
I mean, 1 a.m. to 2 a.m.
I'm not going
to
be here that long, I hope.
Neither am I. We're out of here, Carl.
I'll stay.
You have fun.
I'll stay and do it. He, at the end of that show, said, thanks for all your cards and letters, and he wishes he could answer them all, which is a monumental task. We, on the other hand, do answer just about everyone that texts us, right, Lisa?
Many of them, unless they say something really mean, and then I don't.
No, of course not. But, you know, we do have a text in line. We love, absolutely love hearing from you out there in Radio Land. Our text in line, if you have any comments or suggestions or want to tell us about a show you'd love to hear or anything like that, you can text us at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Do text us. We love getting texts, and we love to respond to your texts. That is our text in line. Right, Lisa?
Okay, so I have to be honest here. I thought we weren't getting any texts, which was very unusual for us. Excuse me, but I noticed that it was just set wrong on the screen, and we have lots of texts, so I will read all of your texts, and I know everybody's loving Johnny Dollar, so
yours
we appreciate
truly,
getting the feedback.
Johnny Dollar.
Yep.
He had a cousin named Yours Truly Johnny Quarter.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then he had other cousins.
Like a dime and nickel and
penny.
I gotcha.
Hang on.
Ba-dum-tch. Too late.
That's pretty bad joke, though, right?
It was really
bad.
Well,
not one of my better jokes. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. We had someone text in and asked us about the Cat's Pride photo. They want to enter the contest. They want to have a chance to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter next month, because Dan Jaffe will be here along with Dave Weiske, maybe Lisa Mack, and maybe Leah will be here as well. But we will give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, but you will not win, folks, if you don't send in a picture of your kitty cat. Very important. Lisa, want to tell them how to do that?
Yes, you send a picture of you and your cat or just your cat to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Include your name, your cat's name, your city and state. If you've sent it in before, send it in again, and we will have our drawing the last Sunday of March.
Yeah.
For an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is quite a valuable prize if you have a cat.
And you know what?
What?
You know why you have to send it in every single month? Because we purge the names.
Oh.
Get that?
Do you know how to purge the names?
Did you get that, Lisa?
No, I don't understand.
Oh, my gosh. That
I don't get it.
I'm just waiting for that phone call, Curtis. Uh-huh. I'm waiting for the phone call from the guy
Zanies.
Who owns Zanies. I'm waiting for my big break. I'm waiting for him to call me and say, listen, can't take it anymore. You are too talented at these jokes.
You might want a different shift if you're looking for that exposure. I feel like in the middle of the night, he's probably catching his sleep.
No,
maybe.
Zany's guy, he's up. He's up this late. It's only 1 o'clock in the morning. Come on.
Okay, on a Sunday night, though?
You know, Saturday, I tell jokes
Saturday,
on Saturday,
that's probably too. A good point, yes.
I'm a frustrated stand-up comedian.
You know, you can aspire for Zany's. I'm going to continue my aspirations toward Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but that's way... That's,
yeah, you know what? If you're
going to
dream, and let's dream big, okay?
And I'm going to aspire to be a baseball player.
So
that will never happen.
There we go.
Did
don't
you play
squash
baseball?
Your dreams.
I played through high school baseball,
really?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
I played travel until I was 18.
Want to play
stopped.
Baseball on my baseball team? I play baseball.
Is it a men's league?
Yeah, 50 over and over.
Oh, yeah.
No, I play.
You can sign me as a free agent once I get there, but I'm a little whiles away.
What did you play?
I played first base. I pitched, and I also was a catcher.
You're a pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You can always use pitching.
Never have too many or too little pitching. Too much.
How was
pitching.
Your hitting?
Hitting, I was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you play any other positions besides any outfielders?
I could play some outfield, yeah.
I'm going to recruit.
I played a little bit of third base.
He's too young for you.
Now, how old are you, Chris?
23.
Yeah, he could play on my team. We'll just put a beard on you and some gray hair.
I can't grow a beard personally, though. Yeah. I mean, so unless you got like a wig of a beard or something like that I can use.
I can't grow a beard either. I can.
I mean, I get like peach fuzz or stubble, whatever.
Did you know that, Lisa?
I didn't know that.
I can grow a.
I've seen stubble on your chin.
I can grow a mustache and like a goatee.
I can grow a mustache much better than a beard.
For some reason, I can't grow hair on the rest of my face.
I have the same problem. My hair just doesn't grow in on the sides. It only stays, around the middle area.
I don't know why I can't. I would have a full beard. If
really?
I could.
Yeah, me too.
But I can't.
It's like, you didn't see the movie, The Greatest Showman?
But you know what?
Did you see that, Curtis?
No. I have not.
Because there's the woman, and that's what she has, like a full beard
on
her face.
Oh, really? Yeah, the bearded woman.
Yeah,
she's
the bearded woman.
All right, when we come back, this bearded woman in... and we will have chapter 4 and 5... of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 1 o'clock in the morning. Time for the news. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, thanks, Roger, and thank you, Esmeralda. It is 6 minutes after 1 o'clock in the morning. This is hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks for staying up late with us. And if you are staying up late, you're listening to yours truly, Johnny Dollar. We are going to have parts 4 and parts 5, the conclusion of the Henderson matter, starring by Bob Bailey in this hour. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
We should have taps. Do we have taps? Because that was the last time we're playing the jingle.
Yes. Well, we are retiring the jingle. Okay. Here we go. Oh gosh. That
I'm playing
good.
My trumpet.
A little off key, though. Yeah, close.
Yeah.
It's close.
But that was the last time.
Yeah,
playing
it. Do I look
sad?
We
might bring it back at some point.
Do I look sad?
But well, listen. A lot of listen. That was a well produced. Rachel did a great job. Oh, there it is. All right, let's have a moment of silence, can we, please, for our Cat's Pride jingle.
Clapped right now about this.
I'm feeling good about it. I feel like you have to know when it's time to move on.
You know, when
on.
I cry, I only tear out of one eye, though. I don't
Is
know
that
why.
True?
Yeah, I don't know why I don't tear out of the other eye. Just one eye gets all
Because you're
teary.
Only half sad.
Yeah, but I'm kind of sad about
I
it.
I don't think you have that many emotions.
Not really. No.
Yeah, no, I didn't think
no.
so.
It takes a lot to shake me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I'm not sad. I feel like it did its job. We had fun with it, and it's time to move on.
I think
on.
It's a very well-produced jingle. And it's just been 3 years. It's
well,
time to
it's
do something
what,
new.
It's not the jingle. It's what the jingle represents. It's the Celebrity Scoop, and it's time to
represents.
Move forward. This actor stars in the upcoming film Arctic Justice, about a fox who works in the mailroom but dreams of one day becoming a top dog.
Okay.
And the winner is going to win a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
All right. I'm going to give the number out.
Okay, good.
I'm going to say it nice and slow. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call if you want to win. Call now. Now, here's a hint. This actor was the star of Why Him?
I gave the guy the Christmas card. I didn't know he put Happy Holidays on there.
All right. Who is that actor? 312-981-7200. Call now. Win some Twilight Zone CDs. We'll be right back. You know, I'm getting slightly better. Slightly. Not much better, but slightly better at the names. There's tough. I'm not good with names, Lisa, as you know.
We've had some issues.
Ruxton.
We've had some issues with you.
Is
in
that
names
right? Ruxton?
And pronunciation.
Steve Ruxton.
Yes, that's right. But had explained it to you for the last 10 minutes.
I wish.
You know, Carl's a little slow with pronunciation, but you know what? You're doing a bang up job, Carl.
Poor Steve. That guy probably does not like me, and I didn't mean to ever offend him.
I wouldn't like you if I were him either.
I just could not get his name right.
No,
I feel
and he's probably thinking
that
a guy who's on the radio
should
as
know
a
how
show
to
host
say a name
could probably say Ruxton.
Steve Ruxton.
There. You got it now. You just couldn't do it when he was here.
I'm sorry, Steve. I swear to you, I am so sorry. I will somehow try to make it up to him.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really
would
like to. I'll send him a couple of surprise boxes. I'll take him to lunch.
I will send him a Facebook message, and I'm going to tell him that.
That I'm really sorry. I used to say his name wrong. I didn't mean to. I've got Roger Badish's name down. Correct.
You got
right?
him down.
All right. Let's see. Can we play that clip again?
I gave the guy the Christmas card. I didn't know he put Happy Holidays on there.
There
All
we
right.
go.
We've got Matt on the phone. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Glad you called in.
I can say Matt's name.
Matt
right.
is Matt. A good one.
Yeah, hi, Matt.
He's got you down.
That's easy.
Yeah, just don't give him your last name. Who is the actor?
James Franco?
James Franco. Carl, can you say that?
James Franco.
Okay, no problem. We're all good here. Matt, you are a winner. You have won a Twilight Zone. It's a 4-CD set, so we hope that you love it.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Matt.
You.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks for listening.
All right, Matt got it right, and it's time now for Chapter 4 of this 5-part adventure of the Henderson Matter. Here is yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is Mrs. Henderson. You asked me to call, Mr. Dollar?
Yes, Mrs. Henderson. I'm with Paramount Insurance Adjusters.
Oh, yes.
You probably know we asked for the inquest into your husband's death.
Yes, I know.
We're trying to clear up the entire matter as quickly as we can, Mrs. Henderson. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh?
Hate to trouble you at a time like this.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Dollar. When do you want to talk?
May I come out to the house this afternoon?
There's a nice restaurant called Big Horn Lodge on the highway. How about meeting you there at, say, 4 o'clock?
Good. I'll be there.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter. Expense account continued. Item 7, $5. One pair of galoshes, believe it or not. It snowed in Culver, Montana during the night, all night. By morning, 14 inches of fine new snow covered everything in sight. After my phone call to Mrs. Henderson, I spent the morning trying to rent an automobile. There was none to be had, so that afternoon I dropped over to see Eve Holton, my sheriff friend.
Oh, son, you're going to catch your death unless you start wearing this car.
Yeah, I'll remember that, Eve, but maybe I won't need one.
Oh?
Yeah, I think I'll be leaving Culver pretty soon.
Well, I hope you don't mean that, son.
I'm afraid I do. I'll have to tie this case up one way or another pretty quick.
Why?
My company wants me to get back home. I got a letter this morning.
Oh, well, how can I help you?
Well, for one thing, you can lend me your car again. I have a date with a lady out at the Bighorn Lodge.
Pretty fancy. You can have the old thing anytime you want it. You know that, son. Who's the lady?
George Henderson's widow.
Yeah. Oh?
Now, I know what you're going to say. Why go after her? Why bother her until I have something to go on? Well, I got to do something, Eve. I'm no nearer now to knowing whether Henderson was pushed out that hotel window, fell, or jumped. I think I have enough of an idea of Henderson and his wife to pick up some valuable information from her. Any objections?
Nope. Johnny, a couple of days ago, you asked me to look up people who might have been especially friendly to Mrs. Henderson. You still want to know about them?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm working on it.
Anyone so far?
Nobody I'd put in that category. What time you have to be at the Bighorn?
4.
It'll take you a while. Wouldn't hurt to start right now. She's parked out back.
Okay, thanks, Eve.
Good luck. And don't let her wrangle you, son. She could do it if she wanted to.
Goodbye, Eve. 10 minutes later, I was on the road to Bighorn Lodge, which also happened to be the same road I'd traveled 2 days before to attend George Henderson's funeral. As I drove past the graveyard, white and stark against the blue winter sky, I noticed a car parked along the side of the road, a little Chevy coupe, about 1952. There was the figure of a woman, all alone, standing by George Henderson's fresh grave. Her head was bowed. She didn't notice me as I walked up. A gray-haired woman, about 45, slight, delicate, gentle. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to start it.
Oh, that's all right. Must be getting late. Dear, it is.
Do I know you?
Why, I don't know. I'm Mattie Knickerbocker.
The name had startled me. The day before, an insurance broker in Great Falls had mentioned her. Told me that George Henderson had named her his beneficiary, then changed his mind a few minutes before he died.
Your name's not Campbell, is it?
No. Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar. You remind me of a boy I had in one of my classes once. Torrey Campbell.
Oh, you're a teacher, Miss Knickerbocker?
Yes, yes. Everybody knows me, I think. Or at least I flatter myself that way. Well, I should be going.
I knew Mr. Henderson, too.
Oh? He was a wonderful man, George. He was very dear to me. I'll find it difficult getting used to the fact that he'll never be around anymore. George had a wonderful laugh, didn't he?
Yes, he did, Mrs. Knickerbocker.
I never really thought that he ever grew up. Of course, you knew him in a business way, and I'm sure he was very, very grown up in business. But it doesn't hurt to think of him this way now, does it?
I don't think so, Miss Knickerbocker.
I didn't come to his funeral. I didn't think I could bear it. I thought I'd just drive out this afternoon and say goodbye by myself.
Well, I apologize for interrupting you.
Not at all. Please. Funny little things. The birds in the snow.
Oh.
Such tiny, wonderful little things. A little bit of God in each of them, Mr. Dollar, wouldn't you say?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know why. I think George would like to know they're here, near him.
Miss Knickerbocker, I have to tell you...
No, you don't, Mr. Dollar. I know who you really are. Everyone in town knows. You seem like a nice young man. Was it curiosity that made you stop your car?
Yeah, I suppose so. I apologize.
Oh, you needn't. I'm just an old friend of George's, saying goodbye to him. Good afternoon, Mr. Dollar.
Goodbye. Talking to Mattie Knickerbocker, I felt that for the first time, somebody, namely Mattie, had talked frankly and truthfully about George Henderson. I was still thinking of the frail, drab little woman with the nice blue eyes when I met Pauline Henderson at the Bighorn Lodge.
What are these matters you want to clear up, Mr. Dollar?
Oh, just some doubts in my mind about your husband's death. What do you drink?
Pernod.
Pernod.
I learned to like it in France.
All right. One Pernod, bourbon, a little water on the side.
Yes, sir.
You sound like George when you order.
Hey, I like your Bighorn Lodge. And I have to say, when it's elegant in the West, it's elegant.
I'd like a light, please.
Oh, sorry. Sure.
Thank you.
Mrs. Henderson, do you mind if I don't stall any longer with the drinks, the smokes, and the compliments?
I'm surprised you've stalled this long. I've heard you're a very blunt and impulsive man.
I spoke to an insurance agent named Thurber yesterday in Great Falls, your husband's agent. Mr. Thurber told me that your husband wanted to name a new beneficiary last week.
Really?
Yeah. He named Matilda Knickerbocker. Mattie Knickerbocker.
I'm not surprised, I suppose. Mattie's a lovely woman. I know George was very fond of her.
Mr. Thurber also told me that Mr. Henderson changed his mind about that the day he died. In fact, he phoned Mr. Thurber in Great Falls and told him to leave the policy as it was. He did that a few minutes after you left his hotel room, a few minutes before he died. Can you explain any of that, Mrs. Henderson?
Why don't you ask Mary Knickerbocker?
Because I don't think she'd know. I ran into her this afternoon, and I talked to her. Well, not about this, just about other things. I'll look her up again if I have to. But it's you I want information from now.
Then why don't you ask what you mean, Mr. Dollar?
All right. Did something happen in that hotel room that made him change his mind about you?
That's better. I do wish that ridiculous little man would bring our drinks.
He will.
Don't misunderstand what happened in the hotel room. George and I were going to be divorced. He moved out of the house a month ago. We went to his attorneys and drew up a tentative property settlement.
You mean?
Dunlap, Edder, Reardon, and Blake, Great Falls. They have a copy of that settlement. George was quite generous to me. So I didn't kill him for his money, if that's what you're thinking.
Here we are, sir. Pernod, bourbon.
Thank you.
I didn't see George for 3 weeks or so after we made the settlement. Then we happened to meet one day in Culver, and... well, we had a rather bitter argument. It was one of those ridiculous things. We quarreled and parted very angrily. The whole thing was childish. My first impulse was to go right back to the lawyers and demand every unreasonable thing I could on the divorce settlement. I guess George's first impulse was to cancel me out as his beneficiary.
Did you go to a lawyer, Mrs. Henderson?
No. No, I cooled off. I cooled off considerably, Mr. Dollar. After all, George had been everything to me most of my life. I was truly sorry we never got along as man and wife. I'm glad that we made it up before he died. That morning. He apologized when I came by the hotel. I apologized. After I left, he fell out the window.
Then I can assume that this business with the policies had to do with the argument.
Assume what you like, Mr. Dollar.
I can understand why you're annoyed by me and my questions. It's just that it's kind of hard for us to believe that a man involved in divorcing his wife would still name her as his beneficiary. I say that because of past experience. Oh, it's happened, but as usual.
I could have told you that we were reconciled that day in the hotel, that we were going to drop the whole divorce matter, and that George was coming back to the house to live.
Yes, you could have told me that, Mrs. Henderson. Mr. Connors in our home office in Hartford called you a few days ago. You hung up on him. Why?
Well, I was very upset. I've never been a widow before.
Uh-huh. I believe you, Mrs. Henderson, sitting here like this. You're a lovely person, and I know it, and you know it. And this is a pretty nice place to conduct business. Why didn't you ask me to your home?
I preferred to talk to you here.
That's what I thought. I saved all the "did your husband have any enemies" and "did he seem depressed" questions for another time. But before I went to bed that night, I read and reread Mrs. Henderson's testimony given at the coroner's inquest. The next morning, I interviewed all of the people at the Butte Hotel who'd been on duty the day Henderson fell out the window. After that, I dropped in to see Eve Holton.
Here it is, Johnny, right here. Personal effects of the deceased included 4 suits of men's clothing, 14 shirts, 5 pairs of hosiery.
Was there a bottle in that room, Sheriff?
Liquor?
Yeah.
No bottle. Nothing like it, son.
All right. He didn't call down and have a bellboy bring him a bottle or send him any drinks. The chambermaid swears there was no liquor in his room all the time he lived at the hotel. You say he was a light drinker. Now, what light drinker takes a nip before he has his breakfast?
Who said he had a drink that morning?
Mrs. Henderson.
What?
On the witness stand, under oath at the inquest. She testified that her husband had a drink before she came up to the room and while she was there. Now, mind you, she didn't say he was drunk, but she did say he had been drinking. You read over that transcript.
So?
So I think she threw that in, made sure it got in, because it's sometimes hard to believe that a cold, sober man will walk out of a hotel window and kill himself accidentally. A drunk or a drinker might do it. You and I and everybody at that inquest somehow got the impression that Henderson was slightly tipsy that morning. And Mrs. Henderson saw to that. Now then, if Henderson had a drink, I want to know where he got it. Tell me, Eve, no bottle in the room, no bottle brought up to the room. Where did he get that drink?
That's a pretty good question, son.
There'll be another intriguing episode in our story of the Henderson matter tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the wind-up. Yeah, the whole case blows sky high. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
All right, that is Chapter 4 of this five-part adventure, The Henderson Matter, on Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, the original broadcast date there, December 1st, 1955, starring Bob Bailey. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. As further evidence that I don't know how to say people's names, I've been saying Larry Potash. It's actually Larry Potash. Right?
Right. Apparently, that's how he says it.
Larry Potash.
On the morning show. And
it
kind of flows better that way.
I will try to remember that.
I will remind you.
I mean, people call me Amory, Carl Amory.
But do you like that?
I don't give him any. People say Carl Amory.
You wouldn't say anything? You wouldn't, tell him how to do it properly?
Yeah.
Don't mind?
No.
Well, then maybe I should start doing that.
You can call me Carl Amory. I don't care.
Calamory?
Yeah.
Just make
calamity.
It all one word.
Calamity.
That's
Carl Calamity.
No, just Calamity.
It's Calamity Carl.
Calamity. That would be a good nickname for me. Carl Calamity.
No, Calamity
Carl. No,
Carl's
Calamity
better.
Carl.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. When we come back from the news, it's the conclusion, part 5 of the Henderson Matter, on Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. People have been texting and saying they've been liking Johnny Dollar. All right, time for the 1:30 news. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Esmeralda. Thank you, Roger. It is 1:35 in the morning, and we are about to listen, Lisa, to the concluding chapter, part 5 of the Henderson Matter. Let's go back to December 2nd, 1955. The conclusion now of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
I have a call for you from Hartford. Go ahead, please.
Johnny?
Right here.
Connors at Paramount Adjusters. Say, what was this wire, Johnny? Are you serious about denying liability to Mrs. Henderson?
I sure am. I think it'll bring the whole thing out in the open.
This is pretty serious. Have you got any concrete evidence death was an accidental?
Jim, I have a copy of the coroner's inquest. Concrete evidence that Mrs. Henderson lied under oath. She said her husband was drinking the morning he died. Everybody here believed he was a little crocked when he fell out that hotel window. I've got proof that he didn't have a drink that morning.
What proof?
No bottle in his room. No bottle brought there. Nothing. What do you say?
Don't make a move, kiddo. I'll get the first plane.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter. Sheriff Holton agreed that there was enough of a doubt about the circumstances prior to George Henderson's accidental death to warrant an official reexamination of all the facts. He promised me the police would start an immediate investigation. That was all I needed. I knew Mrs. Henderson would be re-questioned and that the pressure would start to build up. 14 hours later, when Tim Connors arrived in Culver, I had some pressure of my own.
Well, Johnny, what?
Well, the best thing we can do now is move in. Deny liability on the grounds that the accident is not proved.
I suppose Mrs. Henderson sues us.
All right, let her. Then the burden of proving that her husband's death was accidental would be on her. Look, Tim, contrary to her testimony under oath, Henderson didn't have a drink that morning he died.
All right, she made a mistake. He had a heart attack, got dizzy, and tumbled out of the window. He wasn't drunk.
Oh, don't talk nonsense, Tim. Listen to me. Mrs. Henderson was ready for the coroner's jury a couple of days ago, and she was ready for my questions when I saw her yesterday. The only one she wasn't ready for was you a few days ago when you phoned a long distance. You said she hung up on you. Well, she half apologized to me for that, but it was because she couldn't think of anything to say.
Well, maybe you're right. But suppose he did die accidentally, and suppose it is a just insurance claim.
I tell you it isn't.
And the fact that she made a mistake testifying about him having a drink can...
Hey, Johnny, do you have anything else?
Three things. Instinct, experience, and statistics. Pauline Henderson's a young woman. She married a wealthy older man. With him out of the way, she has all his money and all her youth.
All right, I'm going to phone the company as soon as I can find a phone.
Tell him I'm working for evidence, and the best way to get it is to bring Mrs. Henderson out in the open. File a complaint against her.
What charge?
Suspected murder.
Oh, no, Johnny, that'd get us in all kinds of trouble.
Remember the drink, Tim. Henderson didn't have the drink.
Now, we'll have to have more than that. I'm sorry, Johnny.
All right, I'll get you more. An hour later, I was with Sheriff Holden comparing notes. He reported that after questioning Mrs. Henderson, she admitted she might have been mistaken about Henderson drinking the morning of his death. She wasn't sure. But Eve Holton said what we both were thinking.
He went in front of the coroner's jury and gave a misleading impression, son. Made us think that George was drunk and stumbled out the window. Well, we better find out who helped her pull this off.
Sheriff Holton had every man in his office working on the case by then. It was a long, tedious job of combing over everything in Pauline Henderson's background to find a possible accomplice. About 5 p.m, I drove to the Henderson ranch with Holton. Mrs. Henderson was out, but we interviewed one of the servants.
That's right, sir. Once or twice a week.
You know where she drove to on these trips?
I have no idea. Mrs. Henderson get up early in the morning, be gone all day.
How do you know she went out of town?
Well, she generally take a small suitcase with her, change of clothes. You don't take those when you're visiting a friend in town, do you?
Tell us what car she'd use on these trips.
A Cadillac. Always come back covered with mud and ice. Always have to be washed up. Mr. Henderson used to complain about that.
About the car being dirty?
About the trips, mostly. He and Mrs. Henderson had some pretty good arguments about him. He'd say Mrs. Henderson shouldn't visit that man.
What man?
Just that man. I never knew who it was they argued about.
You've known Mrs. Henderson quite a long time, huh?
Yes, sir. Knew her when she was a little girl, when she first came here. Saw her grow up, go away to school, go away to Europe, come back a little more grown up, a little different every time.
Were you surprised when Mr. Henderson married her?
Well, no. Well, yes, guess I was.
Because she was so much younger?
Not that so much. I mean, well, Mr. Henderson, he had something about the plains and cattle and mountains about him. When he moved, it was as big as all them things. Mrs. Henderson is different.
She didn't fit in here? Is that what you're trying to say?
I think she fit. Not like him, though. Before they were married, they were sort of like good friends. I mean, they'd ride horses and go hunting and laugh and talk about different things. Mrs. Henderson, she traveled Europe, saw so many things and places in the world. She fit here, but then she didn't belong here. I feel awful about Mr. Henderson's being dead. If there was anything wrong with the way he died, I'd like it to be fixed. Mrs. Henderson will probably fire me for talking like this, but I don't care. This house isn't the same no more.
By the time we got back into town, Sheriff Holton's boys had discovered the names of three men who had been seen at various places around Culver in the company of Mrs. Henderson.
Rod Tyler.
Oh, who's he?
Mining engineer. He's been away from here for over a year now. Yeah, here's another one, Sam Pollard. Sam died 6 months ago. Hey.
What?
Noah Baxter.
Noah Baxter. That name's vaguely familiar.
Yeah, he owns a hotel you're staying in. A couple of ranches, too. Well, he might have been the one who tried to have you thrown out.
Oh.
He also owns the mayor.
Young man?
About 30, 35.
Let's go see him. Another drive. This time north of Culver to the Baxter Ranch. We found Noah Baxter busy with his help shoring horns on cattle. A lean, tall man with thin features.
If you're trying to find out if I've been seeing Pauline on the sly while she'd been married to George, why didn't you come right out and ask?
All right, have you?
No, not on the sly. There's nothing between us. George knew any time she came over here to see me. He was a good friend of mine. I'm sorry he's dead. Pauline's a good friend of mine, too. I'm sorry you people are thinking what you are about us. Let's go up the house. It's getting cold. All right, Stan, that's enough for today.
Yes, Miss
Mike.
All right,
boy,
let's go.
Noah, I got to ask you this. Where were you last Thursday?
The day George died, Sheriff?
Yeah.
I was right here.
And you prove that?
Sure.
Ask anybody.
You boys want a drink?
No, thanks.
No. Well, I do.
Mac! Mac!
I get it myself.
When was the last time you were in cover, Mr. Baxter?
3-4 weeks ago. My cook and the others handle what supplies we need.
Do you mind if we talk to some of your help around here?
No. What do you want to talk to him about?
About last Thursday, about what happened when Mrs. Henderson came here to visit.
It wouldn't look good if she came here to visit me, would it?
Well, that depends on the circumstances, no?
Huh. If she'd come and sit there and read and look at some of those paintings, we'd talk when I had time. Anything wrong with that?
No. Mr. Baxter, I think I ought to tell you, I've asked my company to file a complaint against Mrs. Henderson. Suspicion of murder.
Oh. I'd like to tell you something. She didn't kill him and she didn't have him killed. She loved him a lot more than George loved her, I think. Both of you know her. Her dad was a drunken cowhand. When he died, George took her over, gave her everything. So you see, you're wrong. She loved George for giving her what he gave her, and mostly for being the kind of a man he was. I lied to you a couple of minutes ago. There was something between us. It was bound to happen sooner or later. She'd come here to cry on my shoulder, and I let her.
Cry?
About George. He wanted to divorce her. Didn't you know that?
I had the idea it was the other way around.
You're all wrong. George raised her, educated her, made her into a woman, and then he married her. And she wasn't what he wanted at all. You know who George wanted to marry? Mattie Knickerbocker, the schoolmarm.
Go on.
Oh, there was nothing between George and Mattie, but there would have been if he'd lived.
What about you and Mrs. Henderson?
Yeah. The thing that was between us was that I wanted her. She didn't want me, but I wanted her. I was glad when she told me about the divorce coming up. I really think she would have listened to me. But she wanted to be married to George. She really loved him. Sure you don't want one of these?
No. No.
And I really loved her. I went to see George last Thursday at his hotel. You know why? To tell him to go back to Pauline. Yeah, because I knew what he meant to her. You can talk to my people around here. They'd lie for me and say I was here last Thursday all day. They'd tell you that Pauline never came to see me. They'd lie right down the line for me. But, Mr. Dollar, I can't let you get out that complaint and take her in. One of my trucks was taking some beef to the hotel last Thursday. I rode in with the driver and went in the back way. I went right up to George's room to talk to him. Pauline had just left. I wanted to talk to him about the same things I've been telling you. I didn't want to hurt him. I loved him, the same as everybody loved him. When I got to his room, he wouldn't let me talk at all. He was mad that I interfered, and he tried to swing on me. I shoved him once. He went out the window. That's all. I killed him.
Expense account, item 8. $58.15. Hotel and food while in Culver, Montana. Item 9, same as item 2. Transportation by train and plane back to Hartford. Item 10, $88. Miscellaneous. Expense account total, $802.50. Remarks? We still had to pay double indemnity. Mattie Knickerbocker, Pauline Henderson, Noah Baxter. They'll pay another way. With the hurt that comes to nice people. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Remember, there'll be another exciting story beginning next Monday night.
Next week, a real mystery, complete with plenty of action, a beautiful blonde, and a killer lurking in the shadows. Join us, won't you? Yours truly,
Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Lillian Baeff, Irene Tedrow, D.J. Thompson, Herb Ellis, Marvin Miller, Forrest Lewis, Bob Bruce, and Russ Thorson. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking.
All right, there you have it. All five parts of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the Henderson Matter. And that particular episode, Chapter 5, was from December 2nd, 1955, all starring Bob Bailey as yours truly, Johnny Dollhair. Is it Dollhair or Dollar?
I think they're both correct.
Yeah, could be. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. We should go on that.
We weren't invited.
What?
The Steve Las Vegas?
I like Vegas.
I love Vegas.
I want to go to Vegas.
I do too.
I have never been to Vegas yet.
What?
No?
Yeah. Well, I've been in school, you know, for the past 4 years. You I haven't had time.
I know. I've mentioned this. My dad was a regular Vegas junket kind of a guy. So we used to go. He used to go to Las Vegas maybe every month or two.
Private jet?
No, we went on regular commercial airlines, but they were chartered. We used to go all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I really went all the time.
When you go there, where do you stay usually?
Caesar's Palace was our place to stay.
Yeah? Did Caesar actually live at Caesar's Palace? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would meet Caesar and Cleopatra.
Stole that joke from Hangover.
Mm-hmm, yep. So I'm a big
Vegas
fan.
Thought I would give credit to the movie.
We should join the Steve Las Vegas. If we're invited, we'll go.
I would like to hang with Steve in Vegas.
It'd be
fun.
That sounds like a great time.
You know, I know you're good at blackjack, right?
I am.
Lisa's an expert blackjack player.
I've been learning to play since I was a young one, so I've had a lot of experience, and I still go there once a year.
You know, when they double down and all that good stuff?
I do.
You know, when they're like, hit me?
I do. I like to hit you, all right. I sure do.
Actually, blackjack's my favorite game.
Mine too. I could teach you a few things for the right amount of money.
I think I can hold my own.
Oh,
blackjack.
I doubt that.
I'm a roulette guy.
Yeah.
You just put it down on red and you go.
Well, I usually will give, because there's been times where I haven't been able to go in person. So I'll get hey, mom, can you do this? Or hey, dad, can you do these numbers for me?
Yeah.
And then if they get the hit, then great. Yeah. So I think in my, career or the span of how I've played roulette, I think I'm up. I don't think I'm down. I haven't kept track.
That's pretty good then.
I prefer a game where you actually have some power over what you do. So I feel like in blackjack, you actually have strategy that allows you to slightly allow things to go toward your way.
Yeah.
Which is better than
I can
nothing.
Understand that. Yeah.
Hey, look who just came in.
Hey, Nick.
It's Nick DiGilio.
Hey.
What's going on, Nick?
Not much.
We're talking about Vegas. So what's your favorite game in Vegas?
I've never been to Vegas.
No? Do you go ever to any of the...
Don't gamble.
No?
Once I have money, I hang on to it.
That's smart. Wow. I know where to go get a loan then.
No. That's why I hang on to my money.
No, that was a fast no.
I'll pay big interest.
Yeah.
Big interest.
No, I just have no... I mean, you know... it doesn't interest me.
Yeah. I think it's fun to play blackjack, or I don't play roulette or anything like that, but blackjack I like.
I love Las Vegas, so I'm a really big fan.
Yeah, I know. I have friends who go all the time.
I go there regularly. I love it.
Well, my favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time which I'm showing in March at my film club, is Lost in America, which
is movie.
One of the best movies ever made about not going to Vegas.
Right.
It's a great movie.
It is one of the funniest movies, I think.
Albert Brooks. Amazing. And
Julie Haggerty,
yeah.
Gary Marshall as the guy who runs the casino. He's got the scene where he's trying to ask him to get their money back.
Oh, yeah. He's like, that's a great idea. Well, I'm in advertising.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch that again.
It should come out in March.
Fantastic.
I'm showing it March 6th.
What year was that movie made?
85.
Yeah, 80s. Yeah.
Wow. It came out at the beginning of 1985. So, yeah. It's still, I mean... You know, and it's also, you know, it's only pretty early in the decade, and it nailed what the 80s were. Like, it really, what people really wanted
that's
in the
so
80s.
Great.
But it's, I mean, seriously, there's just so many big laughs. I mean, the whole nest egg speech.
Oh, the nest egg. We have a nest egg.
Yeah.
Don't give the nest
You must
egg
not
away.
Say nest. You can't say they nest.
Don't
you
even
can't
say
egg.
It anymore.
A bird lives in a round stick, and we have things over easy with toast.
That's one of my favorite lines
in the entire movie is after they lose all the money, or Julie Haggerty loses all the money. They drive that stupid Winnebago. And by the way, every shot of that Winnebago is hilarious. It gets a laugh every single time.
Yeah.
They drive Winnebago in there at the Hoover Dam. And they get out and they walk up and the camera's like showing you where the dam is. And you hear Albert Brooks go, nice dam, huh? You going to go first or should I? this is such a great movie.
So that's where? Where are you?
The next one is February 6th.
Is it at Movie Co?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, it's called AMC. AMC bought it out.
Got it. Okay.
So it's AMC Rosemont, used to be Movie Co. Tuesday, February 6th, we're showing The Philadelphia Story with Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, and Katharine Hepburn. They don't make them like that anymore. And then March 6th is Lost in America.
Oh, wow. And what have you seen recently that I should be seeing?
Well, really nothing came out this week.
No, nothing.
If you're going to catch up on some of the Oscar-nominated stuff, because the Oscar nominations came out, you know, there's a bunch of really good films that you can see that have been nominated.
Mm-hmm. All of them, I think, are out right now that were nominated.
I think they're all out in the theaters. And I know that AMC has a special two-day thing where they're going to show, like, four movies one day and five movies the other, and you can just binge
go from
on
one
them.
To the one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. So what's on the show this morning?
Well, we didn't really have anything to review, but Eric Childress has been in Sundance at the festival, so we're going to get exclusive reviews of a bunch of movies that he saw at the Sundance Festival. We're also going to talk box office, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke.
Tell a joke.
There's a lot of other stuff coming up, too.
All right, well, great. Stick around for Nick DiGilio. He is up next.